from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
listener, welcome back with me, Rahma. In today's edition, we'll present some segments for you, starting from news, spotlight of the week, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency of 3325 and 4755 kHz, website voinews.id, and RRI Digital mobile app. English program of Voice of Indonesia can also be accessed in our mobile application, RRI Digital.
Listener, here's the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo appreciates Indonesia-Pacific Parliamentary Partnership as a strategic initiative to strengthen partnership in the Pacific. Management of Indonesia's state-owned enterprises considered similar with Singapore and Saudi Arabia. And here's the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has stated that interparliamentary cooperation can be utilized to seek joint solution to some problems that occur in the Asia-Pacific region. This was stated by the President in his remarks at Indonesia-Pacific Parliamentary Partnership in Jakarta on Thursday. He highly appreciated the Indonesia-Pacific Parliamentary Partnership as a strategic initiative to strengthen partnerships in the Pacific.
Saya sangat menghargai, saya sangat mengapresiasi kemitraan parlemen Indonesia-Pasifik sebagai sebuah.
I really appreciate the Indonesia-Pacific Parliamentary Partnership as a strategic initiative to strengthen partnerships in the Pacific. This partnership is very important to be strengthened, especially now that we are all facing great challenges, both in terms of economic uncertainty, geopolitical tensions between major powers, and the threat of climate change and various crises.
Ancaman perubahan iklim dan berbagai krisis.
Moreover, President Joko Widodo considered the interparliamentary cooperation can be utilized for various experiences, sharing the best experiences in finding magical solutions together, because parliament is a bridge between the aspirations of the people and policies. He also said there are three important sectors that currently require joint and immediate handling. First, it is related to climate change. Second, blue economy, which is a great potential of the region. And third, human resources development through education and training carried out inclusively, including for women and youths to increase productivity and innovation. The performance of Indonesia's state-owned enterprises during the leadership of Minister Erick Thohir in the last 5 years has become the main theme of a branding conference called Indonesia Brand Forum, or IBF 2024, which will be held in Jakarta next Wednesday. In the press conference of the IBF 2024 at Post Blok Jakarta on Wednesday, director and founder of IBF Yuswo Hadi conveyed that Erick's management of Indonesia's state-owned enterprises has similar patterns with those in Singapore and Saudi Arabia. Mr. Erick Thohir is about to complete his duty, so it is complete if it is analyzed completely, to be the minister at the Ministry of State-Owned Enterprises. And three of us conducted research, seeing that we saw the same pattern that Erick did, and what happened in Singapore and Saudi Arabia. Saudi. Moreover, Yuswo Hadi also pointed out that one of the factors of Singapore to become a developed country is the strength of its state-owned enterprises, which is under the holding company Temasek Holdings. Meanwhile, Saudi Arabia manages Saudi Aramco, an oil and gas company that has diversified its business and become the most profitable company in the world. According to Yuswo Hadi, the Ministry of State-Owned Enterprises' measures of corporate simplification and efficiency allow the current management of state-owned enterprises to become the foundation of the Indonesian economy, which is useful for supporting the vision of a golden Indonesia 2045. Indonesia and France conduct a joint exercise under the name Pitch Black, which is the part of French Air Force's Pegasus 2024 mission in Indo-Pacific region. The mission demonstrated France's commitment to the Indo-Pacific region and its close ties with its partners' countries in the region. The Pegasus mission runs from June 27 until August 15, 2024. Pegasus mission commander Brigadier General Guillaume Thoma, in a special interview with Radio Republic of Indonesia, Voice of Indonesia, at Halim Perdana Kusuma Air Force Base in East Jakarta on Wednesday, pointed out that the Pegasus mission aims to show France's sovereignty in the Indo-Pacific region. Therefore, the French armed forces are fully involved to protect the French population and French interests in the region. The mission is carried out within the framework of international law to ensure a free, open, and stable Indo-Pacific region, along with its partners in the region. Moreover, Commander Guillaume Thoma conveyed that in this Pegasus mission, the French Air Force invited Indonesia to join the exercise to protect the region.
La mission Pegasus consiste à déployer dans la zone Indo-Pacifique un dispositif aérien d'envergure.
The Pegasus mission consists of a large-scale deployment of Air Force in the Indo-Pacific zone. We have a toolkit that is specialized in this peaceful mission. The mission is carried out annually by the French Air Force. For this year, we involve 4 Rafales and 5 car planes.
De la France, comme l'Indonésie, c'est pour ça que nous sommes ici aujourd'hui.
Furthermore, Brigadier General Guillaume Thoma also explained that the mission included countries to take part in the Pegasus mission, such as the joint deployment of a fleet of Future Air Combat System or SCAF countries consisting of France, Germany and Spain on the western route, and a joint deployment with the UK on the eastern route towards Australia to participate in the exercise Pitch Black. For exercise of Pitch Black, the Pegasus mission will involve the Indonesian Air Force. Therefore, according to Guillaume Thoma, part of his fleet is present at Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport. Indonesia, the largest archipelago in the world, stretching from the west to the east, share borders with many countries, both sea and land. To safeguard the sovereignty, Indonesia needed a sophisticated and appropriate main weaponry system in maintaining the security. According to the aviation and fighter observer Gary Suyatmun, on Wednesday, on the sidelines of the arrival of French Pegasus 2024 mission at Halim Perdana Kusuma Airfield in East Jakarta, the selection of Rafale aircraft is appropriate to replace the position of the aircraft that has ended its service period. Gary considered that Rafale's capabilities are sufficient.
Ya, untuk sementara kita masih membutuhkan force
air sovereignty. The government still needed the jet fighter for fourth generation and a half and multi-role capabilities. We now have to look for a platform community. Therefore, we are trying to narrow down and minimize the number of aircraft types for fighter aircraft, and in the future with Rafale and for Sukhoi replacement, maybe F-16EX and for Sukhoi 35, and we cannot yet. Moreover, Gary Suyatmun acknowledged that Indonesia is currently lacking a number of combat aircraft to maintain their sovereignty. He further said that in fighter aircraft purchase packages, technology transfer options are usually included, and this seems to be in the purchase contract between Indonesia and France. Gary Suyatmun revealed that the selection of Rafale fighter aircraft by the Indonesian government because France didn't require certain things or conditions that burden Indonesia in the use of aircraft facilities in the purchase contract. Minister of Social Affairs Tri Risma Harini undertook a 30-hour voyage from Ambon City, Maluku, to distribute assistance to the residents of Kei Besar Island, one of the province's remote areas. Using the naval ship KRI Teluk Weda 526, she transported aid in the form of crop seeds, agricultural equipment, sports and art supplies, school supplies, hygiene and medical kits, assistive devices, water tanks, boats and solar-powered street lights, among others, to the island's residents. Speaking on the ship on Wednesday, Risma Harini said that her ministry had also organized a number of activities for Kei Besar Islanders, including cataract surgery, treatment for people with mental disorders, and leprosy examinations. Saudi Arabia's Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs Walid Al-Quraiji participated on Wednesday in the second consultative meeting enhancing coordination of peace initiatives and efforts in Sudan. As reported by ArabNews.com, during the meeting held in Djibouti, he emphasized the kingdom's continued efforts to solve the Sudanese crisis and its welcome and openness to international efforts and initiatives aimed at achieving peace in Sudan. Al-Quraiji stated that the U.S. and the Kingdom facilitated talks between the Sudanese parties in Jeddah, resulting in signing of Jeddah Declaration to protect civilians in Sudan. India can be tricky territory for labor. Prime Minister Clement Attlee was criticized for allowing partition to be rushed at terrible cost in human life. As quoted by BBC.com, Foreign Secretary Robin Cook caused a storm by offering to mediate between India and Pakistan over Kashmir, and the party led by Jeremy Corbyn angered even more when it passed a motion calling for international intervention in the disputed region. So it must have been with some trepidation that David Lammy arrived in a warm and damp New Delhi on Wednesday morning, a newly minted foreign secretary stepping away for the first time from the more familiar turf of Europe and the United States. Car production in Thailand fell 20.11% in June from a year earlier due to tighter financing rules and high consumer debt, and a full-year production is now expected to be lower than in 2023. This was stated by the Federation of Thai Industries, or FDI, on Thursday, as quoted by Can.com. The Federation also said the figure compared with May's 16.19% year-on-year drop. In the January-June period, car production contracted 17.39% from a year earlier to 761,240 units. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Warisan Rumah Indonesia or WRI organized an Indonesia Impression event filled with gamelan playing and dancing to the songs Gemufa Mire. Gemufa Mire was chosen according to one of the founders of Warisan Rumah Indonesia, Vini Darmawan. So there will be interaction between visitors and the Indonesian diasporas. The Indonesian Impression event was held on Saturday, July 20, 2024 at an open-air restaurant and theater located just 50 meters away from WRI's restaurant in Langyuan Station Complex, Chaoyang District, Beijing, China. Vini explained that the Indonesia Impression event was a promotional event for Warisan Rumah Indonesia, which only opened last March. According to Vini, each season has a different event. Vini further said that with the enthusiasm and interaction of visitors at the Indonesia Impression event, she is optimistic that Indonesian food and culture can begin to be recognized in Beijing. The event also featured a number of performers, including an angklung performance by Resnandar, a gamelan instructor at Beijing Central Conservatory Music CCOM. He performed the songs Ayo Mama and Mo Li Hua, or in Indonesian Bunga Melati, as well as drumming that accompanied the Manuk Dadali dance by Titi, who is also a lecturer at the conservatory. There was also gamelan playing by members of the Dharma Wanita Persatuan of the Indonesian Embassy in Beijing, including Mrs. Wiwi Oratmangun. The wife of Ambassador Jauhari Oratmangun played the opening music of Pendet Dance. The performance of singer Abdi Purnomo, who is also an Indonesian student in Beijing, singing Ojo Dibandingke and Rungkat, also attracted a number of visitors to sway together on stage. The last song, Gemufa Mire, played by the Indonesian diasporas, also invited a number of visitors to dance on stage. Warisan Rumah Indonesia prepared a total of 300 tickets for the events. One ticket cost 65 renminbi, plus a glass of cold cendol. Almost all tickets were sold out. Visitors also enjoyed Indonesian specialties cooked by WRI's Indonesian chefs, such as rendang, jackfruit vegetables, balado eggs, tempeh, chicken, and other dishes.
Listener, I will begin today in history with July 25, 1978, the birth of the world's first IVF baby, Louis Brown. The birth of Louis Joy Brown was carried out through an IVF procedure, or in vitro fertilization, at the District General Hospital in Manchester, England. IVF is a process of fertilizing an egg outside the body. The fertilization process is carried out in a special laboratory. IVF procedures have been carried out since the 1970s. After various experiments, Louis Brown was finally born. Let's turn to the next event. Over now to July 25, 2000, Concorde 4590 crashes in Genoa, France. Concorde 4590 was a Concorde aircraft from the Air France fleet that crashed after taking off from Charles de Gaulle Airport in Paris, France, bound for New York, United States. While taking off, Concorde Air France 4590 ran over a piece of metal on the runway, causing the plane's tire to blow out. The tire fragment hit the fuel tank, which then caused a fire. The accident killed 9 crew members and 100 passengers on board, as well as 4 people on the ground and 6 others suffered injuries. The plane crash was Concorde's first fatal accident in 24 years of regular passenger service. I will end today in history with July 25, 2021, the first commemoration of World Drowning Prevention Day. World Drowning Prevention Day was established by the United Nations General Assembly in April 2021 to be commemorated every July 25. According to the UN, drowning is the leading cause of accidental death. The purpose of World Drowning Prevention Day is to raise awareness about the dangers of drowning as well as educate the public on ways to prevent and rescue drowning. It is estimated that 236,000 people drown each year, and drowning is one of the top 10 leading causes of death for children aged 5 until 14 years. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Ku mulai sadar dari
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia today focuses on derivative regulation for carbon capture and storage has been synchronized. The Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources said that the ministerial regulation is a derivative of Presidential Regulation No. 14 of 2024 on the implementation of harmonized carbon capture and storage activities. Currently, its stipulation is awaiting President Joko Widodo's approval. Secretary General of the Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry, Dadan Kusdiana, in a webinar entitled Indonesian Carbon Trading and Exchange 2024 on Tuesday, stated that through this derivative regulation, there will be opportunities for the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources to contribute to carbon emissions reduction, especially in the form of carbon capture and storage. The carbon capture and storage is known as carbon capture storage or CCS. Besides CCS, Dadan also said that the Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry is currently working on the use of renewable energy or low carbon energy. Earlier, Director of Engineering and Environment at the Directorate General of Oil and Gas, Nur Arifin Muhammad, said that there were 17 points that were discussed to be included in the derivative regulations of the Presidential Decree No. 14/2024, such as certification of carbon storage capacity, procedures for preparing carbon licenses, auction procedures, and storage costs. Of the 17 points, 7 must be discussed across related ministries and institutions. Nur Arifin added that this derivative regulation involves not only the Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry, but also various other related ministries and institutions. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Berawal cari pengalaman, meninggalkan kampung halaman, berbekal nasihat dan doa dari orang-orang tercinta. Berbohong tentang keadaan agar mereka tak kepikiran, selalu menanti saatnya kembali, meski kadang hanya setahun sekali. Jelas ku ingat
You're still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Now we present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Krebet Tourism Village is a special region of Yogyakarta. It's known for its beautiful craft products in the form of wooden batik. This form of batik uses natural dyes applied to wood instead of fabrics, creating stunning beauty. Besides wooden batik, this tourist village also has natural and artificial attractions, such as the Jurang Pulau Sari waterfall and Sendang Tirta Waluya. The latter is one of the old springs in the Krebet Tourism Village. Today, I'll invite you to get to know Krebet Tourism Village, which is one of the top 50 tourism villages at the 2024 Indonesian Tourism Village Awards competition. Krebet Tourism Village is located in Sendang Sari, Pajangan District, Bantul Regency, special region of Yogyakarta. It is about 18 kilometers from Yogyakarta city center and around 7 kilometers from Bantul town center. The tourist village specialty lies in the uniqueness of village made wooden batik. More than 300 people work to make wooden batik crafts in Krebet Tourist Village. If common batik uses cloth or fabric as a medium, batik works in the Krebet Tourism Village use wood as a medium. Visitors can take part in batik learning activities by coming directly to the Craftsman Gallery. To join this activity, you only need to pay 30,000 rupiah to 85,000 rupiah, or about 1.8 to 5.2 US dollar, depending on the size of the wooden batik. Visitors will get media for doing batik such as mask, a pen-like tool called canting, stoves, wax, protective aprons, and other batik making equipment. Besides making batik in the Krebet Tourism Village, you can also enjoy natural attractions such as Jurang Pulau Sari waterfall and Sendang Tirta Waluya. There is an off-road area in Pulau Sari covering 1.3 hectares of land. You can also opt to enjoy interesting arts and culture which are still preserved by local communities such as Jatilan, Ketoprak, and Wayang Kulit or Shadow Puppet. For those of you who want to spend the nights there, Krebet Tourism Village provides 25 homestays that you can rent.
Pieces of my heart, I'm missing you.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Well, listeners, welcome back to today's editions of Miscellany. Today, we are going to talk about Wolobobo Ngada Festival. Listener, Ngada Regency is holding an event entitled Wolobobo Ngada Festival 2024. Wolobobo Ngada Festival 2024 is a festival to raise the potential of the diversity of customs, traditions, art and culture, ancestral heritage full of philosophy of life and human life of the people of Ngada Regency. This year, the festival carries the theme Coffee Weaving Bamboo to showcase Ngada's natural and cultural wealth that has long become the region's identity and put Ngada's name nationally and internationally on heritage map. Bajawa Arabica coffee has been recognized as one of the best quality coffees, as has the bamboo that thrives in every village yard and community field. Ngada weaving, which is distinctive and has a strong character, is now skyrocketing with the use of Indigofera natural coloring. These three elements are the strength of the Wolobobo Ngada Festival. Head of the Ngada Regency Tourism Office is Nusa Tenggara, Octavianus Botajawa, said that the Wolobobo Ngada Festival was included in the organizations of the Charisma Event Nusantara from the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy in 2024. He also hopes that this event can attract tourists to visit Ngada Regency, as well as have an impact on the economy of the people in the region. Moreover, this annual festival also features superior products that reflect the cultural richness and creative diversity of the Ngada community. The Wolobobo Ngada Festival 2024, which is held from July 25th to 27th, 2024, centralizes its activities in three main locations, namely Kartini Park in Bajawa City, Bamboo Market at Ture Togo Bamboo Campus, and Coffee Trekking Area at Wolobobo Hill. The festival is organized free of charge to allow the participation of all levels of society, so as to enjoy the various areas of events that have been carefully prepared.
Sebentar saja ku ingin cerita tentang dia yang teristimewa. Kadang lucu, kadang menyebalkan ya. Oh, tapi aku suka. Dia tak pandai merangkai kata-kata. Roma romantisnya pun seadanya. Tapi aku bingung entah kenapa, oh nyaman di dekatnya. Aku suka sama kamu, aku aman di dekatmu, aku nyaman bersamamu, aku senang punya kamu. Yang tak pandai merangkai kata-kata, romantisnya pun seadanya. Tapi aku bingung entah kenapa, oh nyaman di dekatnya. Aku suka sama kamu, aku aman di dekatmu, aku nyaman bersamamu.
Still tuned to the English program from Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present to you Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we're going to play a song by Wayang. Wayang is a music group founded in 1995. The name Wayang was derived from the initial of the members, namely Wahyu Adrianto, Ahmad Fauzi, Ramdan Wahyudi, and Gilang Aristia. At the time, the group had a very young drummer, Gilang Aristia, who was only 8 years old. The best hit of Wayang was Damai, or Peace, released in 1997. The song was about someone who feels peaceful upon seeing the sun shine again in the morning. Well, listener, here's Damai by Wayang. Enjoy!
Thank you. sedikit pun sesalku telah bertahan dengan setiaku, walau di akhir jalan ku harus melepaskan dirimu.
Of Indonesia.
Lalu mau apa?